I didn't see Paul Dewey was the survivor that was on the helicopter when I was pulled up. Paul, during the night, he was the guy that I noticed fall over the side of the starboard boat. He was the one reaching for a line, bang, and he went over. He was the first one I saw fall off the ship.
So he was the first off the ship, and that's possibly what saved him, that he made it to the lifeboat.
Could have. Could have. He actually, he didn't. He was not the one in the lifeboat.
Oh, he was not.
No. Paul Dewey was the second, he was the first survivor that the Coast Guard picked up. He had found an inflatable life raft. The ship had several of them that when the ship sinks, it sinks to a certain depth, and these life rafts automatically inflate and pop to the surface. Well, it was a malfunctioning one, evidently, because Paul, during the night, was swimming and bumped into this huge canister. Turned out that it was one of these inflatable life rafts. He found the lanyard, the rope that comes out of the canister that you pull to inflate it. He was able to pull that lanyard, and the canister exploded and inflated.
So they found him on this.
They found
this
him in the life raft.
Okay.
Now, during the night,
how many of the life rafts are there on the ship?
There was probably two, and they're. Like I say, they sit in a nest, and when if the ship sinks, they just float free and they're supposed to automatically inflate. They're not a lifeboat that you go to as a station. They're just a sheer emergency inflatable device. So Paul found this life raft, inflated it, and even now, the mechanism to get on board this life raft is only a little net that's hung over the side. Well, we were all suffering from hypothermia. We couldn't use our fingers. He said it took him over an hour to get into the life raft. And then during the night, he had other sailors come up to the life raft and try to get in. And they were so frozen that even between he and them, he couldn't get anybody on board. The second officer, Clay Babineau, graduate of the Maritime Academy, a good friend of mine. He said Clay came alongside the life raft. I was able to get his feet in, but his head was underwater. Then I was able to get half of his upper body in, and we couldn't get the lower half in, and he was washed back out. He held on to the rope around the life raft for about a half an hour, and then just he was ripped away from it. He said that happened to several guys during the night. So they pulled him out of that life raft. But I don't know how you even get into the life raft.
Are these other survivors from the ship, are they still alive?
Bob Cusick at that time was probably 62 or 63 years old. So this is 30 years after the fact. He just died 2 weeks ago.
Oh. Yeah. I'm sorry.
He didn't retire from going to sea, nor did I. I didn't quit right then. He went back to sea as captain of a cargo ship that went to the Far East and so forth and stayed for a couple of years and then retired.
So he continued on?
Yeah, he went and then he retired from the merchants, went up to New Hampshire and started to sell real estate and just recently passed.
He just passed away.
Paul Dewey. The last time I saw Paul Dewey was in the courtroom down in Norfolk, Virginia at the trial. Haven't heard a word from him in 30 years. There is rumors that he bought a bar room in Norfolk. There's rumors that he disappeared into the South Seas like Lord Jim on the Patna. And I've never followed up either.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if his union, the National Maritime Union, would give me any information as to where he was. But he's never made any attempt to come to the memorials that we've had. Down at Mass Maritime, because Clay was a graduate of the Maritime Academy and myself, there is a memorial down there to the Marine Electric. And they have a big, on National Maritime Day, they have a recognition memorial service. Paul's never showed up. I've met several family members of shipmates at these memorial services since then. And that's difficult because I didn't. An officer doesn't fraternize with the crew. You can't give a crew member a life or death order if you're his friend. So the captain and the mates, you just don't fraternize with the crew. Mm-hmm. That's just a military command structure. So I didn't know these guys personally. And every family member wants to know something personal about their brother, their husband, their uncle on the ship that night. And I can't give that to everybody. Some of them I can because I was watch partners with Norman Savini, and I gave him that order. I knew Harold because he was the sailor on my watch. But the other guys, Richie Roberts I knew because he was another officer. I fraternized with him. But there was some, you know, it's difficult because there's a family that lost other family members at sea. There was a cadet on there by the name of George Whitbolt. He was from Kings Point. And George, he was in the engine room when she went down. He never had a chance. And his brother was a graduate of Kings Point from the year before, had been killed on an explosion on a tanker 8 or 9 months prior to that off the Delaware Capes. So very, very difficult to talk to family members. I hadn't seen Clay Babineau's wife or his daughter in 30 years. And I spoke last summer in front of the Cohasset Historical Society because there's several of my classmates lived down there that convinced me to speak, and they came to it. And I asked Mary how she was doing. She said to me, what can I do? Live inside a bottle. They gave me $2 million and I drank it all. You know? Mike Price, the first engineer from, he was from Salisbury. He had a young 18-month-old daughter at the time. And I just met her about a year ago. Married, 2 children. You know? So their whole lives, they want to know what their father was doing. I don't know. I remember talking to Mike on the radio, get out of the engine room, but I don't think he ever made it out. And all the engine, Mrs. Browning, Stevie's wife, she was adamant that the engineers were alive in the engine room.
Why is that?
She said that they were alive in an air pocket, and they would probably be able to survive. She wanted divers down on the ship right away. And that's just, it was wishful thinking at that point. The seawater temperature was, the explosion